Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
The title of the message today is Back to Basics. Yes, right. We need to get back to basics, don't we? So, as many of you know, the NFL playoffs are in full swing at this time. By the end of the day today, we will have four teams vying for the championship. Sadly, my team underperformed tremendously last Sunday night, and they are no longer part of it, so that's on them. And I know those of you are happy, and you know what? So the great thing is, we talked about this in the men's group Tuesday night. You all know I love sports. I'm a passionate Cardinal fan, and in football, I love the Steelers. I've been a Steelers fan since 1972. Deal with it. But things that I've noticed as we go through, and I watch, and when I watch, I'm passionate about watching. But win or lose, when it's over, it's over. Now, don't get me wrong. If they win, I do get a little happy about it. But if they lose, it's not the end of the day, folks. You know, you just move on. It's something I enjoy, but it's not something that consumes me. But we do have, like I said, we're going to have four teams that are going to be moving on. And Gene, if you would bring that next picture up, this is what they're going to be, this is what they're trying to get right here. Now, what this picture was taken 10 years ago, the last time my Steelers were in the Super Bowl. This picture shows that I do not have the gift of prophecy, because I flashed seven fingers up saying they were going to win their seventh Super Bowl. That did not happen. So if you need a prophetic word from me, you're not going to get it, because I don't have that. That's not my gift. But that's what they're playing for. They are playing for the Lombardi Trophy that goes to the champion of the NFL each year at the end of Super Bowl. The trophy is named after Vince Lombardi, who was the coach of the Green Bay Packers. And they won the first two Super Bowls. And Lombardi is still considered to be one of the greatest coaches of our time. Now, Lombardi was not only was he a great coach, he was a great teacher. And he knew how to get his men's attention. So one thing he did, so Eli, if you want to bring that up to me. I got a helper today, Mr. Eli. Thank you, sir. One of the things he did was the Packers were not performing up to his expectations. So he gathered the team together one day, and he said, "We're going to go back to fundamentals. Gentlemen, this is a football." I mean, he took it back as far as he could take them back, didn't he? Now, the story goes that one of the players, Max McGee, instantly piped up, said, "Hold on, coach, you're going too fast." But that's beside the point. The fact is, he wanted to get their attention by, no matter that they were professionals, no matter what success they had had previously, sometimes they needed to get back to basics. Here you go, Eli. Eli will be back later for us. But we do. Sometimes we just need to take it back, get back to basics. We get so consumed by other things and we forget the basics. In Rocky III, we got any Rocky fans out there?
Yeah.
In Rocky III, you know, Rocky had won a championship in Rocky II, and in Rocky III, things are going well. He's title defense after title defense. He's making money. He's doing well. And he gets away from the basics. He starts to get away from what made him successful. So what happens? He comes across a fighter who is hungrier than he is, Clubber Lang. And what does Clubber do? Clubber lives up to his name and clubs him and knocks him out. And not only that, but Rocky's manager, Mickey, dies as well, his trainer. And he's kind of lost. He doesn't know what to do. So what happens? His old friend, Apollo Creed, steps in and he takes him back to basics, back to really learning boxing and back to what made him successful. So we really need to think about that in our lives. So this is actually, as I was preparing this, I was thinking this is actually really a good continuation of where we left off the last time I spoke to you a few weeks ago, where we ended with Psalm 46:10, where it said, "Be still and know that I am God." And we challenge you then to calm everything around you and to step back and to be still, to go back to basics. So one of the things that Jesus did was he used parables in his teachings. And he did that to find ways to relate to those who were hearing the message that he had. He took something that they were familiar with and then applied it to help teach them a spiritual truth. And we're going to look at one of those parables today in Matthew chapter 13, which is the parable of the seed. So starting at the beginning in Matthew 13, verse 1. It says, "Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore." So one thing we see right away here is Jesus had a hard time getting away, didn't he? There's many occasions in the Bible where Jesus is trying to just get off on his own for a second. But the people are so consumed by wanting to be with him and to hear what he has to say that they just continually follow him. And so there's always a group with him. In 1992, St. Louis hosted the PGA Championship at Belle Reve Country Club. And my best friend and I had an opportunity to go to the opening practice round. A friend of mine had given me tickets for it. So we went out there, and the main golfer at that time, the number one golfer in the world, was Nick Faldo. And he was out there practicing. So we're like, well, if we're going to be here, we're going to look for Nick Faldo. So we got there and we found out when he had started his practice round and everything. So we kind of determined, you know, he may just be finishing up. So let's head over to the 18th green and see if we can catch him over there. Well, on our way over there, there was this mass of humanity just shuffling along the way. Like, what is that? Well, we found out what it was. It was Nick Faldo was in the middle of this, and folks were just swarming him, trying to get around him, get an autograph, get a picture, whatever they could. They just swarmed him and engulfed him. The sea of humanity there. Jesus dealt with this quite a bit, where he would try to get away on his own, but people just continued to follow him. So what he did was, he said, well, if I got folks here and they want to hear what I have to say, he made sure he put himself in a position so that as many people that were there could hear the message that he had. And so he got onto a boat and he began to share with them. In verse 3 it says, he told many stories in the form of parables such as this one. And what I like right there is, Jesus had lots of different stories, lots of different ways to connect with the folks that were following him. It didn't just say he shared a story. It said he shared many stories with them. And as we said, he used parables to try to relate things that they were familiar with to the teaching that he wanted to get across to them. And so he went, and Matthew 13 has several parables in it as you go through and you read it of the teachings that Jesus had. So he started into this one. It says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. Now, for those of you who don't know, I actually come from a family of farmers. I am not a farmer. But on my mom's side of the family, my grandfather was a farmer his whole life. My uncle was a farmer his whole life. And so we had many opportunities to go and witness what it took for farming and for them to get their crop. Well, of course, the most important thing is you got to have a seed, right? There has to be a seed to be planted. And so Jesus starts off right away with this. He goes, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. In verse 4 it says, as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. So while it starts with the seed, and the life is in the seed, the soil has to be prepared in order for the life to be born out of that seed. And that's what Jesus is picturing here, is that he's telling them there's different types of soils that these seeds are going to fall on. And based on what the soil is like, how the soil is prepared, you're going to get a different result. Now, I know we have folks who do lots of gardening and that type of thing around here. I'm sure you're familiar with, the success of what you're planting is going to be based on how well your soil is prepared. And we can not only apply this to our lives personally, but how we are serving as a church as well. So when we're out there, so one of the things that's, as I shared with you earlier, it's so great to have faces here and people here. So one of the things, and I know Pastor Carl, you can attest to this, Pastor Pam as well, when you're in here and there's nobody else in here, and you're sharing something, it helps a little bit sometimes to get a little feedback, doesn't it? To know, is that taking root at all or not? So it's great to have you all in here to do that. And it's because we have to have that soil prepared. But we can't be discouraged if we don't sometimes see the results that we're expecting, because it's not always going to happen right away. Our job is to go and to plant the seeds. Just continue to plant the seeds and offer up anything that we can to help folks out. And God will continue to work the soil to prepare the soil for us. But we need to continue to be planting the seeds and not be discouraged if it doesn't look like it's taking. There are a number of classic movies that when they first came out were duds. And people thought, this one's never going to make it. One, and we can still talk about, we're not that far away from Christmas yet. I still have lights on the outside of my house, even though they are coming down Thursday. But all the other stuff is inside. All the interior Christmas decorations are put away now, but there are still some neighbors who got all their inflatables and whatever still out. So we're not that far removed from Christmas. But one of them is the movie It's a Wonderful Life. And when that movie came out in 1946, it was a box office dud. Really? That's right. So you learned something today, didn't you? Folks just didn't get into going and seeing the movie, just didn't care that much about it. And it wasn't until 25, 30 years later when network TV bought the rights for it and started showing it on television that people started watching it and getting into it. Now it's a staple, isn't it? You can't go through a Christmas without watching It's a Wonderful Life. It's my wife's favorite movie, my wife's favorite Christmas movie. Which means I can't go through a Christmas without watching it, whether I want to or not. No. It's we all know about Clarence now, don't we? And if you hear a bell, what does that mean? Angel got its wings. See, we know all that now. When that movie first came out, people could have cared less about that. But over time, it became successful. People started getting it and started understanding it. And it would have been easy for the person that made that movie to just say, well, this was worthless amount of my time there. I could have done something else. But no, it turned out, it has great meaning and it has great impact. And there's so much we can draw from that movie as we share with others. But it was bad at first. It was bad. So we just keep planting the seed. Just keep planting the seed. That's our job. Let God work with it. I think I've shared this story with you before, but a number of years ago, I had a neighbor we connected very well with. He lived across the street from me. His wife attended church and was a Christian. He was not. But we just continued to share with them, had a great time with them. And finally, one day, he turned and accepted the Lord. And his wife was so excited about that, and they shared that with us. And one of the things she told me was that something that had an impact on him, and I didn't even realize that I was doing it, was sometimes I would be out in my garage working or doing something. And how many remember the old WCBW, the bridge days? That's how far back we're going here. I would have my radio on the bridge and be listening to music while I'm doing whatever I was doing. That music was making its way across the street. And over time, that music was preparing my neighbor's heart, my friend's heart, to receive the message that God had for us. So we just got to keep going. We got to keep planting those seeds. So in verse 10, his disciples came and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to people? And I think we've talked a little bit about that already, why Jesus used parables. But what's important to take out of this too is the fact that the disciples asked why he's using parables. And for us to remember that throughout the 3 years of Jesus' ministry here on earth, not only was he healing, not only was he reaching out to multitudes of people, he was continually teaching those followers of his because he knew they were going to be the ones, ultimately, when he was gone from here, that would need to continue to spread his word. So he was always teaching in them. And he goes on to explain in verse 11. He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. You know, Pastor Barry talks about that so much. Much is given, much is expected. As you strive and you thirst for that knowledge, more will just be given to you. But for those who are not listening, even with what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. You know, as I read through that, you know, it's so true. There is a huge difference between hearing something and actually listening to it. Matter of fact, I was just, Pastor Gene and I were just joking as we were testing a mic out. I was hollering out at different folks around here who were not responding to what I was telling them. I said, I'm sure they're hearing me, but they're not responding. I know it's very frustrating for my family. It's frustrating for me as well. In a few weeks, I'm going to be 60 years old. And one of the things that, you know, I'm dealing with and I've actually been dealing with for quite some time is hearing. I have problems hearing. I don't have problems hearing noises, though. That's the thing. And that's the thing I try to get them to understand. Louder does not make it better. I can hear the sound. As a matter of fact, sometimes Carmen will be sitting outside or whatever and she'll say, I'm hearing sounds she's not hearing. It's coming to listening and being able to understand what is being said. That's why it's so frustrating for me as I watch television shows and movies sometimes. Because, especially more and more, there always seems to be background noise, background music, over dialogue, and I can't understand the dialogue and it gets so frustrating. I'm like, what are they saying? And it goes back to what I said earlier about not having folks here because you don't know how it's being received. You're not sure if it's really being listened to. It may be heard, but is it really being listened to? But one of the things he does is he goes on in verse 14. He says, this fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of those people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. And they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see. And their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand. And then they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Folks just don't get it sometimes. They're not listening. They're hearing, but they're not listening. He commends the disciples, though, for the fact that they are in tune. They're listening. They're wanting to know what it is that he's actually trying to tell them. They're prepared to hear what his teaching is. And sometimes people just don't want to do the work. People don't want to do the work. They want things to happen, but they don't want to do the work. Now, I know we have a few Cobra Kai fans here. That's right, Cobra Kai. Gotta love it. I like what Tony said. Who knew this was a show that we had to have, right? One of the characters in Cobra Kai is Dimitri. Dimitri's one of these guys who was bullied early on. And he didn't like being bullied. And as his friends started taking karate lessons and started learning how to defend themselves a little bit, he wanted to learn how to defend himself. The problem was he didn't like going to karate class and actually being hit. He didn't like that part. He said, can I learn to hit people and take care of people without me actually being hit? He didn't want to do the work. And it wasn't until he finally learned that he needed to do the work, and then he became able to actually defend himself. He was actually able to really grasp what the teaching was and able to defend himself. So we have to not only hear, we not only listen, we need to be prepared to act on what we're listening to. So then Jesus goes on to actually explain the parable then in verse 18. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seeds that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. So we have behind our house, we have a little, our house backs up to Liberty High School. So there's a little patch of woods there. And we've kind of cleared some of that out just to have it for doing different things with. But it's rough. The ground is rough there. And Carmen, as you know, Carmen loves birds. Carmen has bird feeders. Squirrels love the bird feeders. So, which they are the evil ones in this story. But she was having some problem with the bird seed that she had in there too. So she went and bought some other bird seed. So the bird seed that she had, she took and she threw out in that area in the back that's rough, unrefined. And the seed just sits on the ground then. And what happens is the birds would come and just take it right off the ground because it doesn't have time to, that soil is not ready for it to even take the root or anything. So it's easy for the birds to just take it off the ground. It's also easy for the squirrels to take it off the ground. So far it has been done a good job of keeping the squirrels away from the bird feeder. Now the problem is, like you said, does that mean I'm going to have to keep doing that because I don't want to get trapped? I mean, I looked out there one morning, there were a half dozen squirrels just going crazy out there on that feed on the ground. But the seed just sits there because the ground is not prepared in any way for it to take root. So it's easy for something to come and just snatch it out. And that's what this first soil is that Jesus talked about. The next one in verse 20 says, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. And this is so true. You know, sometimes we can get very excited about something. We can go to like a conference. Back in the days when you saw more revivals, a church would have a revival, and coming out of the revival, everybody would be fired up for a period of time. But unfortunately, that would quickly fade away as well. I shared with you all a few weeks ago, the first men's retreat we did, we knew it was important to right away as we came off of that retreat was to have something else for the men to go to because it would be easy for them for the excitement to subside and things just kind of go back the way they were. So we wanted to make sure we had a study for the men right away to get them engaged and to continue to build off what the retreat offered. But sometimes when you have that rocky soil, if you don't prepare that and get rid of the rock, the seed, it'll sprout, but then it won't last. At our old house, we had incredibly rocky soil, and it was very hard to grow things. And Carmen had a little area in the back in the corner where she gardened. And she would have some early success where things would grow, but they wouldn't last long. We had to keep working the soil, getting the rock out of there. And let me tell you, some of those rocks, so this is a true story. I was trying to clear some rock out of the area one day. And this is what I saw on the surface, was like a rock, kind of like this. So I started digging. And digging. And digging. You got it, Mary Ellen. And digging. And digging. And finally she said, "Why don't you quit?" I said, "Oh no, that thing's coming out of the ground now. I got this much invested and it is coming out of the ground." We just kept digging, and that's exactly, it was like a mini boulder that I had to get my neighbor to help me get it out of the ground. But when you have rocky soil, you have to really work it and prepare it, because you may have success getting something to grow initially, but then it can easily be, the root, there's no roots in it and it'll die. And he follows up on that with the next soil. The seed that fell among the thorns represent those who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. I think this verse right here is so relevant today, because we have so much worry that we're allowing to choke God out of our hearts. You know, this pandemic has really created a lot of havoc in churches. And it's not just our church. I had an opportunity to do a wedding Thursday for a dear friend of mine at my former church. And before the wedding, I talked to her mom and dad. Her dad's the pastor there. And they've experienced the same thing that we've experienced. It just how much churn has come out of the pandemic, and people on different sides, Christians, look and just allowing that to drive fear into them and to keep them away. We allow things to just get in and just push God out of our hearts, and we can't do that. Earlier, I think it was this week, I heard on Joy FM, they were talking about the proliferation of storage units. And as a matter of fact, this is what I wanted to write down, Pastor Carl, earlier, because I just passed that one again down there. They're putting one right down the road here at 40 and K, a new storage unit. Why is there so many storage units going up? And it's talking about the thousands and thousands of facilities around the country, and each one of them has dozens and hundreds of storage areas. It's because people don't get rid of stuff. People continue to hold on to things, and they have a hard time letting things go. And so therefore, they had to have somewhere to put it, right? That's happening with us today in our hearts. We're allowing different things to go in. We have a hard time letting things go. And what that's doing is that's crowding Jesus out of our lives and out of our hearts. And we need to be able to clear that out and allow Him to work in our hearts. So what happens when you do that? Verse 23. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. So when you get the seed in well-prepared soil, it is ready to be harvested and it'll grow. So as I said, I come from a family of farmers. When Eli was a baby, I had an opportunity to take Carmen down to my roots, as it were, to visit family down there. And as I said, I still had an uncle that was farming down there at the time. And when we were down there, the cotton fields were growing in well. They were getting close to being harvested, so we actually got to go into a cotton field. Now, When I was growing up, we used to go down there. My brother and I used to go down there. We'd go down there weekends with my mom sometimes. And then we would go down there for 2 weeks in the summer and just spend time down there with my grandparents. So we had opportunities. We would get out and we would ride on the tractor with my grandpa and my uncle. We'd be out there working in the fields. Now, back then, I thought I was really working hard. As I look back, I know I wasn't working quite as hard as I thought I was. But, you know, the work that went in to continually preparing, getting those weeds out that can choke things out. We had to get those weeds out of there. We didn't want anything to interfere with that crop growing. So one of the great things, my uncle loved the fact that Carmen was so fascinated by it. So Eli, you want to go and bring that jar up here? So when they harvested the cotton, my uncle took some and sent it to Carmen and shared it with her. But there's such joy that comes when you see the fruits of the labor. You see this cotton here, still looking good after 12 years. God wants us to go out and do the work and to continue to prepare the field. And this applies not only to us personally, but as I said, it also applies to us as a church. There's nothing that... Thank you, bud. Here, you can put that up. Because the seeds are there. We just got to continue to plant them and to work them. So the hottest, one of the hottest places in the world is Death Valley, California. And it is aptly named because it is not... There's no life there. So, Gene, if you can bring that first slide up. This is pretty much what it looks like right here. Just a bunch of Nothing beautiful at all about it, right? Nothing good. Rocky, arid, dry soil. No life at all. And there's no sign that there could even ever be life. But, you know, that's not true. And we can think that as we go through our lives that there's no chance that there could be life in something. But there's always an opportunity there as long as the seeds are planted and as long as the conditions are made right. So in 2005, they had this amazing rainstorm that hit that area that they've, you know, that's very rare for them to get, for them just to get a couple inches of rain a year is amazing. This is like, I believe, 6 inches of rain within like a couple weeks period of time. And so what happened was this. Gene, you want to bring the next one up? Bam. There's life there. They experienced a super bloom. There was life to be had there. And I bring that to your attention because we cannot become disheartened, as I said. We cannot become disenchanted. We cannot look at it as saying, well, it's just not going to work out. So I said, churches today are struggling right now because of what has happened with the pandemic. But that doesn't mean we still don't do the work. Because God can do this if we just continue to work. So I was listening to Pastor Craig Rochelle from Life Church this weekend. They were celebrating their 25th anniversary as a church. They're getting ready to launch 4 new campuses. And he said, people ask him, is this the right time to be starting new churches? He goes, absolutely. Absolutely. Because the work's still there. There's still a field out there that needs to be planted, needs to be harvested, and we're going to do it. We have an opportunity right here just to continue to do the work. But it begins with us personally as well. We need to prepare our hearts to receive what God has for us. We need to continue letting seeds be planted in our lives. We need to, Pastor Carl just knows your Bible says daily devotional there. Just spending time with God every day and just allowing Him to grow. It's not 1 hour a Sunday, and I know we've said that many times. It's what are you doing when you leave here? Just take that. I tell you, I've been reading through the Old Testament, just reading it like a book, you know? And it's like, I mean, there's some great stuff in there. Now, especially for men, I mean, if you want to, you know, you want to read some action story in that, you need to grab the Old Testament because there's some action going on there. Now, Numbers and Deuteronomy get a little dry, but, you know, when you get all that law stuff in Leviticus, but, you know, get past that, I mean, there is some great stuff going on there. Just being able to see how God works. And I'm not even talking about, you know, doing an in-depth study, which you should do as well. You should spend time really studying passages. But I'm just talking about just reading what's going on and what God has done. It's amazing. Just take some time to spend time with God. And then these chairs here that we have here, we get those things filled. We reach out there. Maybe we start another church. Maybe we start another church. But we need to continue to plant and work the soil and let God work the soil. And we are the farmers. We are out there throwing the seed and allowing Him to work to further His kingdom. So Father, as we come to the close of this message today, Lord, I pray, Father, that folks' hearts when they came in today were prepared to listen. Not just to hear, but to listen to what You have to say. I pray that those who are watching us online, Lord, have been able to listen and have their hearts prepared for the word that You've had for them. And then that we go out and that we share that with others. Besides the folks that are here, we have folks watching us today that are beyond our area, Lord, that can have an impact on the areas that they live in and to just spread Your word, Lord. Pastor Barry loves the fact that he wants us to be a kingdom church, Lord, and that we serve Your kingdom and that we grow Your kingdom, Lord. And even if that doesn't always happen here, Lord, but we can plant seeds elsewhere where people can thrive and grow and there's a harvest to be had, Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.